Hey, welcome everybody. I've got a great show for you today. Thanks for tuning in. Don't leave. We're going to once again talk about the book of Genesis, my brand new book here. Genesis, the beginning of all things right here. And this is a book that's really going to help you in your walk with God and your understanding of prophecy and end time events. And Doc is in the studio. Last week we didn't get past verse 1 of Genesis in the book. The beginning of things. And you got the first murder in Genesis. You got the first marriage. You got the, you got everything. And, so we're going to look at some more of that today. I'm going to help you with some things. All right. Going to help you with prophecy as well. So get you some, iced tea, call your neighbors, call your friends, tell them that we're on and to gather around. And, soon as we're going to go to the music and we'll be right back. All right, welcome everybody. Glad to have you with us today. Brother Goodwin here and Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle discussing my brand new book, Genesis, the Beginning of All Things. I've already got sticky notes all over it here. And I had a good time writing this and having a better time talking about it, Doc. The book really came alive as I got near the,
it
near
always
the completion
works
of it. And it really makes more sense to me now than it did when I started this. And this is important stuff. So let's jump right into it, Doc. We're still in chapter 1 of Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 4, then God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 7, God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. I wrote down here, this is a first. God was the first to bring division.
Hey.
Now, we don't like that.
Well.
And preachers, we're divided. And division can be a good thing. I'm not saying there's times
that
it can. I mean, if your army is divided, that's bad.
Yep.
But if you're not divided from good and evil,
that's right.
You got a problem. Let me read what I wrote here. Division is a good thing. God wants a division between light and darkness, between good and evil. And between male and female and many more things.
And between righteousness and unrighteousness.
Yeah. God wants a difference. God, by the way, God wants a man and a woman should dress different.
Yes.
A man and a woman walk different. Women think different.
That's right.
Men and women are different.
Amen.
Regardless what society tries to shove down our throats here, we got to get back to this book. And we got to get back to what's right.
That's right.
God created this thing, and God set some guidelines. God wants a division.
Well, when a person comes to Christ in faith, God divides them there. We're set aside from the things of the world.
Yeah.
And God's people ought to have some family traits about that, divided from the world.
The next thing here, the seven-day week is introduced.
Yeah.
And that's in the creation story what was it? All the way to Genesis 2:2. We got the story of the 6 days of creation, and God rests on the seventh day.
On the seventh day.
Mm-hmm. And this becomes important because a week is not only a week of days, it's also a week of years, as we see in Daniel chapter 9.
That's right.
We also see, was it Isaac or Jacob that went to Laban's, his uncle Laban? And he had two daughters.
And sets of sevens.
And he worked 7 years.
That's right.
And then the marriage takes place, and it's kind of humorous.
Yeah.
He spends the night with her, and the next morning it's not Rachel. Okay. And what do you do?
Yeah, nothing.
And he complained, and then he said, "Oh, it's not our custom to give the younger before the older, because Rachel was the younger." He said, work another year or 7 years, and you can have the other daughter.
Right.
And I think he gave her to her right away.
I think so.
And I think so he had to, and then that's the beginning of his problems.
And a lot of problems.
And then the Bible says when he fulfilled her week, That's how, that's a week. An evidence of what,
that's right.
That a week can be 7 years.
That's right.
Daniel 9, no doubt, is talking about weeks of years.
True. Well, the word week just simply means a set of sevens.
Yeah.
Whatever those sevens
seven
might
days,
be.
7 weeks.
Yes.
7 years.
Yeah.
And it's very important in
7,000 years.
Yeah. And of course, I call the 7,000 years a giant sabbatical cycle.
Mm-hmm.
6 days man works, the seventh day man rests.
Yeah.
6,000 years, and then the 1,000-year kingdom age.
Millennial reign.
And it all fits like a glove. I believe God put this all
He said
perfectly.
He's not the author of confusion, so I think that would be a help.
I don't think it's going to be 7,000 years, 6 months, 2 weeks, and a day and a half, and 5 minutes. I think this thing's going to be a perfect 7,000-year period of time inside of time and space. What else we got here? We've got the date and the time mentioned here in the first chapter with the creation. He says that the evening and the morning were the first day, and the second and the third.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the wording there. And I think a lot of times we read our Bible, but we don't
read the words.
This stuff doesn't register. For God, I believe a day starts in the evening, which is 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think it was a perfect Earth. I don't think it was tilted then. And well, it would have been 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night, probably.
Which is pretty obvious. It was not quite as large as it is today because the waters were divided, and those waters above were the canopy, and out of the flood, they came down, made an explanation. But yes.
And possibly tilted it as well.
And
that's something we can't prove, I guess, but it's pretty much understood by most people.
Well, doesn't matter whether you're on the North or South Pole. It's obvious that at one time it was covered with vegetation.
Yeah. And so that little tilt made a lot. And that's why we have seasons. And I don't know under the original Earth if there were seasons or not.
Day number four, God put the sun, moon, and stars up there. And he said, as you said a while ago, a division, but he said for signs and seasons, days and years. So
what that means fully, I don't know.
I don't know, but anyway.
I love fall. Fall's my favorite season, which is what we're in right now.
We're in.
So this becomes important to know that a day begins at 6 p.m. And we also know what day of the week creation began. It began at 6 p.m.
Begin on the first.
Saturday night. And because we know that on the seventh day God rested, and we know that's the Sabbath, that's Saturday.
Even though God established that in the week of creation, but it did not become a part of the practice until God put that into the law.
Into the law, in Exodus.
Moses put it in the law. For Israel, and that law was given to Israel, not to the Gentiles.
But the precedent was set, and the seven-day week was ordained.
Yes.
And I think the Jews kept up with that over the centuries.
They have, yes.
And if our calendar's right on the day of the week, then what's important here is...
Well, if you were in Israel, you'd be operating under a different calendar, basically, and the rest of the world operates under anyway.
Because in the fall, on Tishri 1,
that becomes
Feast of Trumpets,
New Year's days to them.
It's New Year's. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, that, and it's believed that that's creation day. All the Jews believe that.
But that's what you're saying. You find that? That's the beginning.
That's true.
That's the beginning of the calendar.
If
the
it's
going
to be a 6,000-year earth right to the day, right to the hour, right to the second, it has to end where it began. If it began on Tishri 1 at 6 p.m. Saturday night, which is Sunday on their calendar, that's Sunday, beginning of Sunday, then this thing would have to end on that same day, that same hour, to be a perfect 6,000
years.
Because
that's when the year changes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And see, we're when you use our Gregorian and you're looking at January 1st, you'll never get it. And so... These are puzzle pieces that I'm trying to tell people. Mm-hmm. These are important little pieces that are going to help us with our figure out a timeline.
Because when you come to prophecy, you're going to be looking at God's time frame and not the Gentiles' time frame.
I have said for years that I believe Jesus is coming back on a new moon in the fall, which would be that same day of creation. And now at the beginning, I didn't understand the day of creation part. Yeah. That's something I learned in recent years.
When he does come, we do know that it's going to be the end of the tribulation.
Yeah, you're talking about the second coming. I'm talking about the rapture.
Yeah.
The rapture, I believe, is going to happen on a new moon in the sky.
Yeah. Well, it may, but Jesus' actual physical coming is going to be at the end.
2,520 days after that day.
I think that's exactly going to be the end of the 6,000th year.
Right, because
the next thing that comes is the millennial reign.
Yeah.
Yes.
So after the rapture, the problem is it's the year 5993. We're not at the 6,000th year
and
yet.
And again, that's a toss-up.
Yeah.
Because we do know that the Jews in about 132, 133 AD altered their own calendar.
Yeah.
So the actual Jewish calendar is not actually correct, right. And they know it.
And I'm not using their calendar. I'm saying that creation began Saturday night at 6 p.m. on Tishri 1, and it's got to end there to be a perfect 6,000 years.
And God alone knows when those two really are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can speculate and we can try to figure, but it's not an area where you ought to divide fellowship over by not agreeing on
something
of that nature.
But here's the thing, dog. 70 weeks to turn upon thy people, upon thy holy city.
That's an exact 490 years
period. Now, we know there's a week left out.
Yes.
Messiah is cut off in the 69th week, not the end of it, in the 69th, almost the end, six years and a half. Six and a half years into it.
Yes.
Messiah's cut off, or 6 years and 6.5 months. There's 5.5 months left to the Feast of Trumpets, which is the calendar year, and the end of the 69th week of years.
Right.
And then the 70th week is hanging out there.
But the actual days was given from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to the day they cut off their Messiah. Yeah. 173,880 days exactly to the day.
Yeah,
and so there's 25, 20 left, and that's what's going to happen. We call it the tribulation, but it's Daniel's 70th week.
Yeah. And I believe Stephen is the other key there. I believe the death of Stephen is the end of the 69th week. I believe it's Feast of Trumpets. It now begins a new cycle of the sabbatical years. And the death of Stephen right there, I believe, is when the clock stopped and began ticking. The new clock began ticking for the church age that we're in, but can't prove all that either. But,
no. These are the areas that we can speculate on, and we make sure that we let people know this is your speculation on that.
Yeah.
But we don't part company because we don't see these. Now, if you want to part company, then we part company over the vicarious death of Christ
and things of that nature.
All
right, what else we got? We got the Trinity mentioned in Genesis chapter 1.
Yep.
Can you believe that?
Jesus shows up. It's right in verse number 1.
Yep.
Actually.
I'm specifically talking about verse 26, I think it is here. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us.
Yep.
That's plural. That's not a mistake.
That's because the very first word for God in Genesis verse number 1 is Elohim, plural.
Yep.
The uniplural God.
Okay. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God
absolutely
the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible teaches the Godhead is made up of three distinct and separate persons that we refer to as the Trinity. And by the way, the word Trinity is not in our Bible, but neither is the word Bible. And we don't have a problem with those words.
No,
and the rapture is not a word in the Bible.
But everything in creation is a Trinity, including you and I. We're a spirit, soul, and a body.
Yeah. And so that's an important thing at the beginning of our Bible. And then dominion is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
God said, let us make man in our image. Same verse, by the way. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, cattle, over every living thing here. God gave dominion to Adam, but
what is
dominion? And I've got the definition here from Webster's 1828, and this was shocking. I don't know, a year or two ago that I learned this. Because dominion, when we think of dominion, ever since 2020.
We think of a voting machine.
Yeah, we do. The Dominion Company, Dominion Voting Machines. Why is that the name of that company? Well, listen to this. The word dominion, I looked this up. It means to be sovereign or supreme authority, the power of governing and controlling. Mm-hmm. The dominion of the Most High, it gives an example, Daniel 4:3. But listen to this. This definition here, this is definition number two, power to direct, control, use, and dispose of at pleasure, right of possession and use without being accountable.
Yeah.
No accountability.
That's right.
Now, is folks, is the light coming on? Is the light coming on?
It's no coincidence.
About what's happened here?
It's no coincidence they chose that name.
Oh,
the devil.
They have sued people. Anyone that even brings up any, they sue them.
Yep.
And, man, this really fits. They're living up to their name here.
But that's what God made. Here's the thing. God made a complete utopian world. When I'm teaching on this from Science and Above, God made a total, complete utopian world, and then he put man in it and gave man all of it. You're in charge of it. You're in dominion. You're over this.
Yeah. Now, the next verse, we're still in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Now, don't miss this, folks. Don't miss this. Male and female created he them.
Wow.
Are you serious? Male and then Genesis 5.
Not Shem and him.
No, not he, her, him, they, them.
Oh, okay.
Male and female created he them. Chapter 5, verse 2, you male and female created he them and blessed them.
You need to get you a woke Bible. That's the problem.
Called their name Adam, which shows that why the woman takes the man's name.
And, exactly right.
That's probably not popular anymore.
No, but it's true.
In the day when they were created. Mark, and then the New Testament refers back to this, Mark chapter 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female.
And in the book of Exodus, he makes it clear there was a 6 days and a seventh. Yes.
Yep. And God wants a difference between man and
woman. Yes, he does. He wants it.
Yep. Right.
He made us different for many reasons. She's to be a help meet. That's not one word. That's two words. Everybody's got this idea, help meet. No, she's to be a help that is meet, meaning proper to help finish or to provide him to be able to do the job God gave him to do.
Yeah. My pastor.
I know that's not popular.
Where I went
to
Bible college, he said it. She's the completer. She
that's
helps
right.
complete the man,
that's
make
right.
him what he needs to be.
Yeah.
That goes against the grain of all the women's lives.
But when God's ladies, the born-again ladies, when they realize that role and they help their man, their husband, be all God wants him to be, you're amazing what happens to a family.
Yeah.
God's blessing is on that. Yeah. Yes.
Now, you know, the ladies ought to ask themselves under this new system of we're equal with man and this and I'm not saying we're not equal, but we're not equal in certain things. I mean,
we're equal before God as the fact that you have a soul, and your position in this life is here.
Leaves her position of helping her man succeed, and leaves that position and becomes the head. She took a step down.
That's right.
Left the position God gave her.
And that puts her in a vulnerability where before she was under his protection and his leadership.
The Bible says in Timothy that Eve was the weaker vessel.
Yes.
And it says Adam was not deceived in the garden.
No.
The woman was deceived. Yeah. She was the weaker vessel.
Well, that's why, I mean, it's just very obvious. You watch somebody with their children. That child comes in crying and he or she's hurt herself or skinned herself or whatnot. What's mama do immediately with her love? She starts loving on, oh, let me help you. And daddy says, well, toughen up, boy. Did you hurt my ground?
Suck it up, son.
Because women always, and it's the way God made, women always instinctively operate from their hearts. Men instinctively operate from their minds.
Okay. And we got the first marriage here.
Yep.
Chapter 2. Hey, we've gone to the next chapter. Chapter 2.
God brought Eve to him.
It is not good that the man should be alone.
Yeah.
And I will make him and help meet. Two words.
Yes.
Help meet
two
for
words.
Him.
It simply means, meet means qualified or perfect for the situation.
Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore shall a man, verse 24, leave his father and his mother. Now, Adam doesn't have a father, but he's setting the precedent here.
You're getting the first.
He shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Yes.
And so that's a first mention.
That's
and,
it.
A marriage is between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
To say differently, you've got to go against the King James Bible.
Well, you got to go against God.
Yeah.
That's it. And you got this crowd out here, and that's exactly what their purpose is to go against God.
We turn the page to chapter 3. We've got, we're introduced to somebody called the serpent.
Yep.
And we know throughout reading the rest of the Bible that that's Satan here. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Said unto the woman, yea, hath God said.
Yeah.
And I have a whole section in here about the devil.
The first time God is questioned.
Yeah. I got a whole bunch of points about all the different names of Satan. I think I've got every one of them in here. And the wicked one, the prince of this world, the murderer, the enemy, tempter, all these things. I got a whole section on that. That I think will be a help to people. Got a poem in here by our good friend, the gospel poet, Brother Forrester. And I've used a lot of his poems. He wrote this just for this book, by the way.
Oh, did he?
At the end of all things, look back. That's the title of this poem. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Let me just read the first stanza. In the beginning, the story's well told, how God made the heavens such a long time ago. It took only 6 days when he spoke to the sand. Then nothing stood up to become woman and man. Ain't that good? And he's amazing.
It's good. Good.
And so that there's several stanzas, and I'll leave that for folks to read. Scott Forrester, the gospel poet. I've known him for several years. I think we've only talked on the phone maybe once, but we've used a lot of his poems in the books. And so next we have the attack of Satan upon God's word. This is important. And I have quite a long section in here that's in some of my other books.
And that's tied together with the attack on the Word of God, but it's also attack on marriage, which is a picture of a relationship of God with humanity.
Yeah.
All of it's tied together.
Yeah, so a whole section here about preservation and, you know where is the Bible today and why is the King James under attack? Very simple. It's the Word of God, and Satan has attacked it from the beginning. Where does it all end? How does it end? It ain't go back to the beginning. You'll see. We're right there again. Right where Satan is asking, hath God said? Is that really what God said?
And that goes with what you've been saying about not knowing the difference between a man and a woman. What has God really said?
Yeah.
And it's so, that attack on
so
what
the
God
end
said.
Time ends just like it started with a serpent, a Satan, a bride, the church, and some liberating fruit. You don't have to have that stringent rules in that book. You can have this fruit here. You can be free. You can live the way you want. And that's where we are.
And even inside the realm of quote unquote Christianity, there's all kinds of supposed liberating graces and all these other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might say, before I forget, Christmas is coming up. Doc's going to do, we're going to do the series on the Christmas story. Is that what it's called?
Truths of Christmas.
Truths of Christmas. So we'll make people mad again this year at Christmas time when he tears apart the manger scene and all this stuff. And good stuff that he's got. But I want you to remember, what are you going to get your loved ones this year? Why don't you get them something that'll be eternal for them?
Yeah.
Get them something to read. Doc's got books on his bookstore. I've got books in my bookstore. Hey, I got a special. You can get five of these, I think, for $50. That's free shipping. That's less than $10 a book.
That's a good price.
Book for that. What a better gift to give someone, something that they can read and have their life changed. You can give them a tie, you can give them some socks or a gift certificate to Longhorns or whatever. Give them a book to read.
At least he named the right steakhouse, but okay.
We actually prefer like Texas Roadhouse, but we go to both of them. A lot of times it's quieter at Longhorns. You can talk.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Texas, especially on a Friday night, gets a little loud in there.
Yeah.
And, we got the first temptation in Genesis 3.
That's right.
The first temptation to sin. Hath God sinned? Mm-hmm. God does know. And by the way, he says it was pleasant to the eye.
That's it.
Sin's pleasant.
And so John, in his little letters, wrote about how that the eye gate, you know, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Yep.
First temptation, the first sin, eating the fruit, which was simply disobeying God, taking, you know, doing something God said not to do. And I highlighted that. By the way, when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes.
That's it.
A tree to be desired.
Yeah.
To make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
And their eyes were opened.
Adam and Eve did not murder anybody. They didn't rob a bank. They didn't commit an act of adultery. They simply went against what God had said and ate of the tree that God said not to eat of. No. It really is as simple as that.
That's right.
Wherefore is by one man, Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death have passed upon all men, for all have sinned.
Well, the temptation was, wouldn't you like to be in charge of your own life?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to say what's right and what's wrong? Up to this point, you've been doing what God said's right and don't do what God said's wrong. Wouldn't you just like to be in charge of your own life? That's where we are today, the same thing, same temptation.
Follow your heart. You hear all the Hallmark
all
movies.
Kinds of things.
Follow your heart. The heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it?
Jeremiah I'm glad
says.
God knows it.
Why
Amen.
Are we following our heart? We got to follow the Word of God.
That's right.
The first cover-up. I know we're going to run out of time. The first cover-up. Lord, the woman, she made me do it.
Yep.
And the woman, the devil made me do it.
Yep.
We don't want to take the blame for our sin. And it's a natural reaction. The blame game started here.
Yeah.
First cover-up where they sowed fig leaves. I got ahead of myself. Yeah. That's the cover up. I haven't done anything. I mean, what's with the fig? You know, who told you were naked? He said.
So no different today. People got their own religion trying to cover up their unrighteousness, but it doesn't work in the eyes of God.
Then the blame game. We got the seed of Satan in chapter 3:15. The seed of Satan, which is metaphor. Satan has seed any more than the woman has a seed.
That's right.
The virgin birth is revealed right there. We've gone through three chapters, and we haven't even finished those. And we haven't even touched on everything.
We haven't even got a minute left.
And so, folks, get the book if you don't have it. It's on the website. Go to Protestant Spotlight. Click on Dan's bookstore. Actually, it's right on the front page. You can just click on it there. I would encourage you to get the 5-book order for $50, free shipping, and give those out for Christmas or something. And all right, Doc, you got a closing word in 20 seconds we got left?
Oh, if you don't know the Lord's your Savior. You need to get saved. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. Change your destiny from hell to heaven. And if you need some help for that, call Dan.
Contact us. We'll talk to you on the phone. We'll send you something. We'll dangle you over a fire and make you repent. whatever we got to do. And, well, I hope these have been enjoyable for you, as it has been for us to share this with you. And until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.